This is Pure Decking, show number 401 for Thursday, July something, 28th, 23rd. Yeah, you can look up the year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and yelling at the internet. I'm Marps. Tonight, we have BSV. What are you drinking, BSV?
Nah, just some Coke. Oh.
Is it original recipe Coke?
No, not. I should have said cola, RC.
Did RC ever have cocaine in it? I don't remember.
I think that was only Coca-Cola.
That just kills my joke. Oh, well.
There may be some rum going into it shortly, but...
Good man. And we have RU. What's up, RU?
Oh, man, just drinking me some Tears of the Cloud.
Yeah, I probably should start keeping a bottle of that next to the desk here, but currently I've got the bourbon barrel ale, so, you know.
I'm digging this website you gave me, man.
Oh, that news story?
Yeah, it's actually, it's got a lot of local stuff here.
It's a police report site, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed. I'm just catching up on some shit that happened last night.
Yeah. So I sent RU this story about a guy in Australia who got pulled over for speeding, but it was because he was having epic combat with a snake in his car. A brown
Not
snake.
Not just any snake.
It was a brown snake.
The second most deadliest snake in the world. And I noticed in reading that story, man, the guy was shitting himself that he hurt the snake. Like, he was too concerned about being arrested for hurting wildlife than him actually dying from the bites of this snake.
Well, he was very concerned about getting bit by that snake. He pulled out his pocket knife and was stabbing the fuck out of the thing.
But that's when he's like, oh, shit, you know, I didn't really want to hurt the snake. I had no fucking choice. You know, it was self-defense against the snake. Don't charge me.
And of course, the officer's like, third time this week.
I'll bet money that that guy will be under review for causing harm to wildlife. He'll probably end up with a $1,500 fine.
Because he didn't let the snake kill him?
Yeah.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up. Anyways, so I got tons of fucked up stories today. I thought about trying to find some uplifting, more badass things. That's how I found the snake story. It's like, that's awesome. Some dude fought off a poisonous snake with a knife. It's like, that's cool. But, you know, honestly, the internet didn't really cooperate with me. So. Anyways. VPN firm that claims zero logs policy has leaked 20 million user logs. Whoops.
No, it had mostly zero logs. There's just that two in front of all those zeros.
Oh, it gets bad, dude. Perhaps the most ironic moments in the cybersecurity world occur when those who promise to protect your online privacy cannot guard their own turf. We've seen this happen from time to time with security firms getting hacked themselves. And, you know, anybody who plays in the space knows, even if you do everything right, you can still have shit go down. I mean, for fuck's sake, I thought I had the TeamSpeak box fairly well hardened. Somebody making a go at getting into the TeamSpeak box actually managed to crash the damn thing. That actually really pissed me off when I saw the logs and saw what really happened. It's like, son of a bitch. So.
Yeah, but they didn't get in, man, so that's...
You know, but I spent a couple of hours making sure they didn't after that. Usually seeing a process crash on a box is an indicator that somebody's making a real attempt. But anyways. Yep. So now the entire country of China can't talk to any of my boxes. But that's just I probably should have done that in the first place anyways. But it happens.
You mean I can't log in from China?
Nope. You're going to have to use a VPN. But I don't recommend using one of these. Actually, if you want to use a VPN and you have a decent internet connection at home, build your own. It's worth learning how to do. It's a bit of a pain in the ass, but, you know, that way, at least that way when you're out somewhere and you're not trusting a third-party one like this, or really do your research and try to find one that's, you know, what you want to find, these are pretty rare, but what you want to find is a VPN service that has ended up in court because somebody from the FBI or somebody wanted logs and they had to explain, we don't have them. I'm sorry, we cannot produce for you something that does not exist. That's what you want. But those are few and far between, unfortunately. Another similar case has emerged recently when the database of a Hong Kong-based VPN provider called UFO VPN was exposed with more than 20 million user logs. Discovered by researchers from Comparatech on the 1st of July, the exposure occurred due to a database hosted on an Elasticsearch cluster being left without any password. Oh boy. Okay. The free open source version of Elasticsearch does not support security at all. You do not put it on the internet. If you are running Elasticsearch and it needs to talk to something on the internet, write some proxy services, put something in front of it. Do not put Elasticsearch directly on the internet. Period. Worth 894 gig, nearly a terabyte of VPN logs from a company that doesn't do logs. The data allegedly includes plain text passwords, IP addresses, timestamps of user connections, session tokens, information of the device, and OS being used along with geographical information in the form of tags. The implications of this are pretty dangerous in that not only are user accounts at risk of being taken over by malicious actors, but users can be tracked online. Furthermore, the session tokens, by using session tokens, any encrypted data that someone gains access to could be decrypted, rendering the entire concept of encryption useless in this scenario. Yeah, if they actually were logging the fucking tokens, that's the encryption key for the session. That should never be logged. That should never be logged. So that tells me they don't even have it set up right. This, as Comparatech has rightfully pointed out, goes against the service provider's privacy policy and the promises of a zero-log policy it has communicated to its users. And there's the quote, UFO VPN does not collect, monitor, or log any traffic or use its virtual private network service under any circumstances on any platform. The incident was reported to UFO VPN and the database was secured yesterday on the 15th of July. So the story's a little bit old. The company, on the other hand, claims that due to certain employee being changed because of coronavirus, the issue could not be identified earlier, stating the following. In this server, all the collected information is anonymous and only used for analyzing users' network performance and problems to improve service quality. So far, no information has been leaked. So they're just denying reality at that point. Got it. If what the company seems to be saying to mitigate the damage to its reputation, with the facts clearly suggesting otherwise. For the future hints, it remains to be seen if the firm improves its security practices. So here's the thing with UFO VPN. They are not a direct seller, right? They don't... Like, you don't go, I mean, I'm sure you could, but almost nobody goes, like, and signs up to UFO VPN. Instead, UFO VPN is resold. So they run a big VPN service, and then they resell it to all, you know, all these different apps and companies that, you know, provide cheap, low-cost, or free VPNs. There was a list of all the VPNs that work through them, and I can't find it now. I had it earlier. But yeah, there's several services like that where they, you know, they run a big VPN service, but they don't. Yeah, here it is. It was UFO VPN, Rabbit VPN, Fast VPN. There's a couple of others. Anyways, yeah. So, anytime it's a cheap, low cost, or free VPN, you got to question it, right?
Yeah.
But, you got to remember these VPN services, even if they, are on the side of the angels and everything. One, it sounds like somebody just didn't know what the fuck they were doing in setting up this service, right? So, they claim, oh, we don't log, without really knowing what that means. Because you can absolutely set a VPN not to keep logs. And I can tell you, doing troubleshooting without logs is a pain in the ass. But I have enough systems that are misconfigured not to log that I have to deal with on a regular basis that I can tell you it's a right pain in the ass to do try to troubleshoot without logs. It essentially becomes a lot of guesswork. It's like, let's try this. Did that work? No. Okay. Maybe it's this. Did that work? No. And just kind of hope somebody's messed with the system enough to recognize what that problem looks like. Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, when you're talking about services like VPNs, ISPs, you got to remember web hosts. These guys can potentially see everything going across their wires, right? Now, are they going to be monitoring you specifically? No, probably not. But they could. A lot of times stuff ends up logged and just shoved in a database somewhere with the, we might need this someday for something, right? So it's not like real time somebody watching the wire. It's more this stuff gets logged and then gets queried at some point in the future. So, and this sounds to me like somebody set up an Elasticsearch thing for logging and just didn't understand what they were doing. Or, their marketing just flat out lied. Oh yeah, we're a zero log VPN. Do you have any idea what that means? No, but it looks good on the paper, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people want, right?
There's a great interview with Bill Hurd, who is one of the engineers who put together the Commodore 128 8-bit computers. And I know this sounds like a tangent, but it'll make sense in a second. He's telling a story about when they were picking the video chip they were going to put in that computer for the 80 column mode. And he says in the interview, he's talking about he remembers asking the engineer who was designing the chip if it was a superset of the previous chip they were using. And the engineer said yes. And he said, I made the mistake at that point of not asking the engineer if he knew what that question meant. Because it turns out it was not a superset. And that's one of the reasons that system didn't do that well outside of just, running in emulation mode for Commodore 64s. But It's a fun interview where he's talking about that, because the same guy also talks about some other design decisions they made in that chip that were really fucking strange. But anyways, it's one of these things of, does your marketing department know what it means when they say you're a zero log VPN? Because if they don't and they're saying it, you might want to look into that.
Why would they have logs? They don't clear any trees.
No wood in the building whatsoever. Not even a pencil. Nothing that can be... Do you have a toothpick? Get him! That was good, BSV. I like that. We have no wood in the building whatsoever. Nothing that can be misconstrued as a log. That's good. All right. Next one. I mean, do you guys have anything else on that?
No.
Oh, I've already posted this link.
Just be careful with the VPNs you use.
Well, it's, with any kind of these services like this, right, you got to think, if you're sending your data through it, do you really want to be using the lowest common denominator, free, cheapest one you can find? I mean, I know some people are strapped for cash, and that's what they're doing. But, you know, or like they're just kids and they don't know any better and they just see something for free. But, you know, that's the thing is you've really got to stop and understand if you're doing business with somebody, you're doing business with them and they can probably see your shit. So, let's see, what's the best way to make this joke? So if you're wanting to look at weird porn on the internet and not have it properly logged, instead of a VPN, maybe just use somebody else's Wi-Fi. Or, like, go stay in a hotel or something and, you know, hide in shame properly. you know, preferably something where they're not going to link your traffic back to you, which is getting harder and harder. Actually, I've got a story about that later, too, so. Anyways, next article is from Ars Technica. Hackers obtained the Twitter direct messages for 36 high-profile account holders. What did we predict when we talked about the Twitter breach?
Yep.
Hackers accessed direct messages for 36 high-profile account holders in the last week's epic compromise of Twitter, with one of the affected users being an elected official from the Netherlands. The social media company said late Wednesday. The company also said the intruders were able to view email addresses, phone numbers, and other personal information for all 130 hijacked accounts. The mass account takeover came to light last Wednesday when some of the world's best-known celebrities, politicians, and executives began tweeting links to Bitcoin scams. A handful of the account holders, including Vice President Joe Biden, Bill Gates, they've got a whole list of titles there for Bill Gates, Tesla founder CEO Elon Musk, pop star Kanye West. A few hours later, Twitter officials said the incident was the result of it losing control of its internal administrative system to hackers who either paid, tricked, or coerced one or more of the company's employees. The officials said they would disclose any other malicious activities those responsible may have undertaken. So, the revelation that some of the world's most influential people likely had their personal messages read by unknown hackers will put more pressure on Twitter to better protect its users. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat representing Oregon, yeah, that's what it is, said in a statement last week that he had pushed CEO Jack Dorsey to protect direct messages with end-to-end encryption. Isn't the government usually trying to say not end-to-end encryption? Anyways. Yeah. Oh, wait, because it was them. Right. Oh,
yeah. Rules for thee.
Not for me. Which would prevent Twitter or anyone else from the sender and recipient being able to read them. Twitter DMs are still not encrypted, leaving them vulnerable to employees who abuse internal access. Wyden wrote, if hackers gained access to users' DM, this breach could have a breathtaking impact for years to come. What's in your DMs that you're worried about somebody else seeing? blog post that was updated Wednesday added the account hijackers were able to view personal information, phone numbers, email addresses were associated with the accounts. The company made no mention of what other personal details, such as words the account holder had muted or blocked or available to hackers. Twitter spokesperson declined, or spokeswoman declined to provide additional information, including the identity of the users whose direct messages were accessed or other types of personal information that was exposed. Wednesday's update also said that attackers were not able to view previous account passwords, as those are not stored in plain text or available through tools used in the attack. Previous passwords refers to the passcodes that were used before the hackers changed them. The update made no mention of passwords that were cryptographically hashed and whether the hijackers had the ability to obtain them. On background, a Twitter representative said the attackers didn't see any passwords in hashed or plain text. In previous updates of the week, Twitter's details, hackers likely tried to sell access to hijacked accounts with highly coveted usernames, also like the short ones. Up to 8 of the compromised accounts had information taken through Twitter's Your Twitter data tool. None of those accounts were verified. Attacker tweeted from 45 verified accounts, including both Bezos, Barack Obama, and Apple. The company is working with law enforcement agencies, including which, according to Reuters, include the FBI. Twitter has yet to answer several other important questions. They include whether the employees or hackers involved in the attack left behind any backdoors. Well, they probably don't know that yet. It's going to take them a while to dig through their shit and figure it out. And is unanswered if the company has put in place a mechanism such as a requirement that multiple employees must provide separate passwords to unlock administrative panels. Well, that's not going to happen.
That's never going to happen. So you have like the button for the nukes. You're gonna have to have two keys to activate the panel. Yeah, that'll never happen.
Oh no, it'll happen for about 15 minutes until they decide that's way too much of a pain in the ass and it's a loss of productivity. So that way they can say to the auditor, see, look, we built the system. And then they'll turn it right back off.
Yeah.
Or they'll just, you know, have one employee knowing both passwords. I mean.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, BSV? I didn't mean to step on you.
Write something that just bypasses the whole security aspect of the...
They'll have one sysadmin's job to turn on the strong encryption when the auditors come around.
Oh, I could see Jack putting in a verified fucking employee list. Like, you're an employee, but you've got to get X amount of employee points to become a verified employee, so you don't have to do the two-step verification. We want to bet that's what's going to happen.
It's sort of like a social credit score.
Yeah. Yeah, but for employment.
That'll end well. Let's see. Yeah. So, anyways, I don't... Yeah. And that's, you know, that actually goes back to that same conversation we were having about the VPNs. It's like, okay, so you trust Twitter to properly manage all this data? And, you know, they're going on about these direct messages, and it makes you think, what kind of shit do people have in these direct messages that they're trusting Twitter not to just, you know, out to the world? You think about some of the political activism these companies get into, right? You know, let's say Donald Trump had something super salacious in one of his direct messages. I doubt it, because if he did, it probably would have been already leaked, you know, by the same employees who occasionally shut his account down, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's happened a couple of times where they shut his account down and said, oh, yeah, that was an internal employee who made a mistake. And it's like, well, if they had access to DMs, you think if he had something really crazy in his DMs, it would have gotten published. So, it kind of makes you wonder what all they're putting in there. So, yeah.
Well, one of the ones that was popped was Vilda.
Yep.
Austrian?
I think so.
Yeah, he's the odd one out in that list. I went through it, and that was the really odd man out.
Well, I imagine they were trying to... What they probably did is you probably had multiple groups involved. You had the initial group that got in and got access to the back-end system, right?
Yeah.
They reset some passwords... And they probably had some promises to another group to sell that other group access to shit. And that's probably the group that tweeted out the Bitcoin scam, right?
Yeah.
So,
but how long were they in the network?
Probably a lot longer than anybody wants to admit.
Exactly. What have they implemented inside there that the engineers now have to try and figure out and find out?
And depending on how well-documented and understood their system is...
Well, how many Patets have fucking gone through there in the last couple of years? You know, the Patels don't really fucking do a lot of documentation.
Well, like I said, it just depends on the state of that system, but from my experience looking at enterprise systems, they're never as clean as you'd expect them to be. Nine times out of ten, there's always a box somewhere that nobody touches because nobody knows what it does and nobody wants to risk breaking the system.
Because it's been there since day one.
You hear about systems like that end up in the floorboards of the data center because they didn't want to unplug it when they were redoing the data center. And so it got lost because somebody put a floor tile on top of it. Yet it still got network and power, so it's still just chugging away.
Yep.
My favorite is when one of those, I've had a couple of those systems at a previous employee or employer, and what's really fun is when nobody knows where those systems are and they stop working.
then it's all hands on deck to find the Ark of the Covenant.
Basically, I had one I had to dig into. It was a messed up system too. They were getting two different systems to communicate calendaring information back and forth. So that somebody had written a proxy service in Java and it integrated a certificate into it, and the certificate expired. That's why it broke. But what it was doing was it was decoding this calendaring information from one system, re-encoding it for another system because it was they weren't natively compatible, and then just shoving it back in. But nobody knew what was going on in the background. They just, well, I don't know. These systems are linked up somehow. Nobody knew what the linkage was. It was this little Java proxy program, and when it quit working, the mad scramble to find it, and we found the physical box it resided on. Once I actually found the program, because, of course, it was a certificate, so it's like, oh, well, security has to fix it. It's a certificate. So it's like, fuck you guys. So,
but how many walls did you have to break down to find the box?
It was in a switch closet under a decommissioned network storage solution that had an air conditioner leak all over it. The box was running because the network storage solution had shielded it from the water. But there was, you know all that shit you get from air conditioners, all that white crusty crap?
Yeah.
It was all down the side of the case, and so nobody knew there was a computer under there because somebody had put up a bunch of cardboard to try to run the water off. And a little old Dell 860, or whatever it was. Little one-use server. But, there it was.
Sounds like a little workhorse, though.
Damn thing was still running. Ubuntu 8.04.
So, I mean, the thing's sitting in a cupboard, getting covered in shit and water, and it's just chugging away.
Yeah, pretty much.
Little workhorse.
I mean, it was impressive. We still put it out of its misery, but it did kind of deserve a Viking funeral, didn't it?
I was going to say, it makes you want to, like, take it out the back, you know, and introduce it to the other old Dells that are just left out there and let them mate their days away to produce MacBooks.
I'd love to understand how you think computers are made.
And later on, we're going to be smoking some DMT, and I tell you, you're in for a fucking hoot, my friend.
Yep, that's how you really kickstart the dinner party. So the first time I started smoking DMT.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how I lost my left eye.
Wait, you had both eyes last time I saw. It's like, yep, which one was the glass one? Oh, fuck. Next one.
I didn't say I didn't find it.
I just rub this off, shove it back in there, it'll be fine. Oh, continuing with the running gag of the show, this one's from cybernews.com. College recruitment database leaked nearly 1 million student GPAs, SAT scores, IDs, and other personal data.
Oops.
Whoops. We recently discovered an unsecured Amazon S3 bucket or database containing nearly 1 million records of sensitive high school student academic information. This included in this unsecured bucket are GPA scores, ACT, SAT, and PSAT scores, unofficial transcripts, student IDs, and students' names and parents' names, email addresses, home addresses, phone numbers, and more. The unsecured bucket seems to belong to Captain U, an online platform that purports to help connect student athletes and colleges or universities that are interested in recruiting them for the athletic programs. Because of that, the bucket also contains pictures and videos of students' athletic achievements, messages from students to coaches, and other recruitment materials. Because the data leak concerns minors, being high school students, aged 13 to 18, the leak seems to be particularly sensitive. On May 22nd, we reached out to Captain U to help them secure their database. When we received no response from the company, we contacted Amazon on June the 1st to get the issue fixed. However, while they were able to fix the issue securing the index on June 9th, the files are still available. Although through an Amazon representative, Captain U claimed that the sensitive education data was meant to be openly available. Oh, they didn't know what was in it.
Yeah.
But it seems that Captain U never mentioned this fact to students or parents. Yeah, I've had this argument with developers before, too. It's like, oh, no, we can't secure it. We just have to make it open to everybody. It's like, that's got credit scores in it. You can't do that. That's illegal.
Tell anyone.
Rick Garcia, whose daughter at one point had been a member of Captain U and whose personal files are still contained in the database, informed us that he never knew or intended for his daughter's information to be publicly available, but just to share that on the platform for other coaches to see. Yeah, and I'm sure that's what's happened. His recruiter said, oh, go set up an account here so I can see your stuff. That's how that works 9 times out of 10 with these schools. We did not agree to publish all of her educational information to the public, he said. We just thought we were giving her GPA. Captain U has not responded to repeated requests for comment. Yeah, because it's probably like 5 guys and they don't know what to do. What data is in the bucket? GPA scores, unofficial transcripts, ACT, SAT, and PSAT. Student IDs, student names, parent names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, messages between students and coaches, pictures and videos of athletic achievements, recruiting materials, camp schedules, and other coaching-related documents. That's
a lot of shit.
Yeah, they've got scans.
Do you want
of,
all the information to get into a college?
There
well,
you go.
I'm just thinking malicious use. If I was a bookmaker, those college athletes, nation. Be an interesting little heads up, you know what I mean? Performance of players coming in as rookies.
Oh yeah, if you're like a bookie or something, I could absolutely see that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think what you could do with a lot of this information. Full of a sample size to be used for recruiting or anything like that, but I mean, bookmaking is about the only thing I could think.
Well, one, you know, if students have a particularly poor grade in a class in there, if they've got an F anywhere in their transcript, you know, that transcript's now public and potential employers could find it, so there could be some reputational damage there. You've got videos of student athletic events. And
well, that's where your money is there as a bookmaker.
Well, yeah, I'm also seeing where you could have websites who might be interested in, say, gymnastic or cheerleader competitions selling those videos.
Yeah. Didn't go there. But, well.
I mean, the scans of student IDs, if nothing else, are useful if you want to know how to fake one.
Yeah, that's...
SATs and PSAT scores are supposed to be fairly confidential, especially since I think the ACT is also functionally an IQ test, isn't it?
I don't know.
I know there's a lot of privacy concerns around those testing scores. So I think some of that qualifies as protected personal information. So even though I don't know how you would abuse it too much, but it's, you know, still might be a legal issue. Messages between students and coaches I could see being a problem.
Well, maybe there's more here for an ambulance chasing lawyer than there is for anyone else.
You know
what I mean?
I could see that.
That's probably your biggest threat with this list. And, yeah, apart from short-term gains, being a bookmaker, there's nothing really anything you do here.
Well, it's just embarrassing and shows people just don't know how to build these kind of services. It's like, yeah, we're just going to dump everything in a public S3 bucket so that our website's easy to code. Yeah, fuck off. You know, that's really what that's showing is those are developers you don't want anywhere near anything important.
I mean, as we get closer to the internet of everything, this is going to get worse.
True. All right, well, how about something with a little bit more direct financial impact? Get you the link here. It's from Ars Technica. Crooks have acquired proprietary Diebold software to jackpot ATMs. Diebold Nixdorf, which made $3.3 billion from ATM sales last year and service last year, is warning stores, banks, and other customers of a new hardware-based form of jackpotting, the industry term for attacks that thieves use to quickly empty ATMs. And specifically, jackpotting is causing the ATM to spit out all of the money like you hit the jackpot at the slots. If you just find a way to open the ATM, like with a, you know, you're not jackpotting the ATM if you're taking an angle grinder to the lock, okay? It's you know, getting the machine to say you're a winner and spit out all of the money that's stored inside of it from through the mechanism.
Well, I think the last time I saw any code like this, it was very simplistic. And oh, I think you hold return, enter at the same time, and it reset it back to a 4-digit PIN. And the PIN was 000, and that gave you access to a screen that allowed you to change the denomination phrase. You turn the 20s into 5s and the 5s into 20s and then just get $5 out. But that was the last time I heard of anything like that.
Yeah, Jolly Jack had done some things with ATM several years ago, but he got like sued to not do that. So
he was getting ATMs delivered to his house, and I think the FBI got fucking slaughtered or something.
Well, he started out buying them off eBay.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I remember that story. Got really hairy at one point. He's just, no, I'm just a, you know, I'm not trying to do this to earn, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, he's just trying to do security research, although he died. I don't remember what happened to him now. I think he had a heart attack. Name? I think it was Jolly Jack, wasn't it? Barnaby Jack, not Jolly Jack.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened to him?
At least we're not fighting the dead air today. Just letting it go.
It needs to stretch its legs.
Yeah. He died on July 25th, 2013.
Yes, that's
drug,
right.
They said it was a drug overdose.
I remember this because they were scared he was going to fuck with John McCain's fucking pacemaker. I remember a few hits pieces that they did on this guy.
Yeah, we talked about it on Decking because we were theorizing that somebody killed him. Because
yeah,
he apparently
he was on
died.
Cutting edge.
He died of overdose. Let's see, according to Wikipedia, according to the coroner's report, Jack died of an overdose of heroin, cocaine, Benadryl, and Xanax. At 35.
Yeah. And everyone that knew him said he was a fucking teetotaler. You know?
Yeah.
His whole thing was just into machines and machine learning and stuff.
What? Yeah. You don't get into drugs by mixing them all together and
injecting
them
the marijuanas.
Yeah.
We have to marijuana. Put it directly in the eyes, otherwise you don't get the proper high.
That sounds like the mixture that you would have in a syringe to like do the whole murder thing, where you just sneak up behind them, stick them with a needle, and they fall over dead an hour later.
We don't know what he would take, so we just blended it all and put it in a syringe.
Yeah, whoever had thought about doing that as a combination for drugs is really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
It's like, well, we took the recipe from Keith Richards, and anyways.
No, Keith Richards is very experienced in taking drugs. You're only going to have two or three of his in the system at any one time. And they're all going to be of the same family, either the upper or the downer. Not both. You know, he's not Carrie Fisher here, all right? You know, experienced drug user.
Let's see. Yeah, in previous jackpotting attacks, the attached devices known to the industry as black boxes usually invoked programming interfaces contained with the ATM operating system to funnel commands that directly reach the hardware component that dispenses cash. More recently, Diebold has observed a spate of black box attacks that incorporated parts of the company's proprietary software. Some of the successful attacks show new adapted modus operandi on how the attack is performed. They warned in an active security alert that was issued last week and provided to ours by a company representative. Although the fraudster is still connecting to an external device, at this stage in our investigations, it appears the device also contains parts of the software stack of the attacked ATM. So, okay, yeah. The growing number of attacks against the company's ProCache terminal lines, particularly ProCache 2050's USB model. Ongoing attacks are occurring in certain European countries, the advisory said. Bruno Oliveira, an expert in ATM security, said that he had heard the earlier form of black box attack. The connected device manipulates APIs, including the OS extensions, such as XFS or CFS, which communicate with the remote servers operated by the financial institution. Black boxes, which mimic an ATM's internal PC, can either be laptops or Raspberry Pis or Arduino hardware that's fairly easy to build, Oliveira said. Black boxes are one of four jackpotting techniques that Diebold describes. They got a document. In some cases, the attached devices directly connect to the cache dispenser and issue commands for it to spit out cache. The other form of black box attacks plug into network cables and records cardholder information as it's relayed back and forth to the ATM and the transaction center that processes the session. The attached devices then changes authorized maximum withdrawal amounts or masquerades as the host system to allow the ATM to disperse large sums of money. The above jackpotting brochure describes two other types of attack. First swaps out legitimate hard drive equipment created by the attackers. The other uses a phishing attack against bank employees. So, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to, at the end of the day, getting commands to that mechanism to start spitting out money. Although I kind of like the idea of snipping the network line and putting another device in there to pretend to be the server. just from the novelty of it, you know. If you have enough of the conversations, just you respond when you go into the software on the ATM and say, and dispense $100 million. Because, of course, the transaction never actually gets recorded with the bank, so you could use any account at that point. And since it can't check, you know, if it can't talk to the real server, it can't check PIN numbers or anything like that. So you just say, you're Bill Gates, go in there and just take out the maximum amount of money that it'll let you take. And that's that. So... But, you know, that's a thing, and apparently now they're getting better at it and being able to hook it in, and it's got, you know, parts of the ATM software in there to mimic parts of the transaction, which sounds to me like Diebold had a leak somewhere, like somebody got a source code tree out somewhere. So... Anyways, so I guess we'll move on to the next story here. Next one up is from Torrent Freak. Anti-piracy groups maul Know Your Customer proposals to tackle pirate websites. So I wouldn't be surprised if most people aren't familiar with that phrase. Know Your Customer is the common policy statement for like financial institutions that have to follow for anti-fraud laws. So this is the whole, you have to record ID, you have to, you know, do background check when opening accounts, you have to, you know, be reasonably certain that the person is who they say they are, that kind of thing. So these piracy groups, or the anti-piracy groups, are wanting web hosts to have to do Know Your Customer before you can be allowed to set up a website, so that people don't set up pirate websites. I have an issue with this, but it's not the piracy angle. So, anti-piracy groups and right holders in Europe are reportedly interested in so-called Know Your Customer proposal to tackle pirate sites. In the finance world, companies are required to know exactly who their clients are to prevent money laundering, but what if this is stretched to domain hosting and cloud storage companies too? Most adults seeking to do any kind of business with banks, financial entities, or even gambling companies will have experienced efforts to positively identify who they are. So-called Know Your Customer regulations require that companies, mostly in the financial sector, carry out checks to determine that the individuals they are dealing with actually are who they say they are. Such verification is usually carried out when an account is open, but can be revisited thereafter, with the provision of ID cards, passports, driver's licenses, even face verification becoming a condition for business. The main goals of these regulations are to prevent obvious crimes such as fraud and money laundering, with the latter often linked to criminal behavior and even terrorist financing. Yep. I'm just thinking back to all this dumb
financing.
It comes up in all the training material I have to do for working at a financial. Every year we have to do these stupid Know Your Customer trainings, and yes, it's, you know, absolutely terrorist financing is thrown in there every flipping time. They're obnoxious and largely useless. And being as I'm already working in security.
Puppies for Palestine. Yeah. On for profit, you know. Yeah. They always have these cutesy little fucking names, too.
However, an interesting question being mulled by several anti-piracy groups and rights holders is whether similar identification requirements could also hinder the ability of pirate sites to do business. During a webinar hosted by Italian privacy anti-piracy group FAPAV, really, FAPAV? really? Was attended by representatives from Europol, the MPA, and Guardia di Frasia, and local football leagues, Serie A, among others. The topic of Know Your Business Customer was raised in respect to online copyright infringement mitigation. During the increasingly cross-border dissemination of piracy as a complex challenge for authorities, FAPAV reports that KYBC was welcomed as a useful and practical way to tackle pirate sites, whose operators have a tendency to hide in the shadows. This type of approach would allow us to combat anonymity on the web, now a constant of those who work illegally to exploit and earn through the unauthorized use of these audiovisual works through the verification of the information provided in the context of the purchase of services such as hosting, domains, storage, etc., FAPAV said. So the article goes on. They kind of weigh the benefits of it. But in short, the idea here is they want to put the same requirements on web hosting that financial companies have to do. And not only is Know Your Customer absurdly expensive to implement, where does the line stop? A lot of people who do piracy, they don't actually run their own website. They go post in a forum and throw things like mega upload links, right? So are you going to, by law, require mega upload to do Know Your Customer for each and every account? You know, are you going to make Facebook and Twitter do it? Where does this stop?
Everything they need online needs to do it.
Well, they want to kill online anonymity is what it is.
Yeah.
So
bullshit. Man, trying to get Kim.com to do anything? Good luck.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, where does this end? But here's the real problem I have with it is they're going at this from the anti-piracy standpoint, right? But
yeah.
Okay, so now if these companies all have to do Know Your Customer, so now all these companies would have a big ass database of exactly who is running what website and who their legal identity is. You think that shit's not going to get leaked online just like everything else I've talked about tonight?
Well, especially in this current era, man, of fucking destroy everyone.
Oh, yeah. You run a website we don't like? We're going to get your ass canceled. And look, here's how we can prove you do it.
Hmm? Oh, you got a user on your platform that doesn't, you know, say shit. Well, it doesn't say shit on your platform, but it does talk shit on Twitter. You're fucked by guilt by association.
Yeah. I mean, this is an opportunity to, I mean, it's what a lot of business companies want, right? This is an opportunity to severely curtail internet usage and try to take it back to just approved entities being able to post content.
Yeah. Yep. So, I'm firmly against it.
Same here. I've run several websites, and you know what? Most of the stuff I don't work through intermediaries or hide my identity from these companies, but I don't want to have to do a background check to spin up a fucking Minecraft server.
That's what I mean. Like, how ridiculous. You just feel
do
like
I have to get a background check to get onto the Minecraft server?
Well,
I don't
then
know.
I'm gonna have to
I don't
do
know
a
where
background
it ends.
Check on people who are pubbing on my Minecraft server in case they've said something or done something untoward.
All online modems require a blood test and handprint, and retinal scan before you log
on. It'll be a government-issued ID, and you'll just have to have it in the slot reader before you're allowed to touch a digital device.
Oh, dude, I was being pretty obnoxious in an obscure game for a couple of weeks because I just fucking felt like it. And it turned out I wasn't being obnoxious because I was using the wrong key for push to talk. So I was just yelling at myself. pardon me. A day it occurred to me, I never know who's fucking screen, you know, screen recording. Hello? And I haven't changed my online handle.
Well, I mean, how many times have you said to me, are you broadcasting? Are you recording?
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? I say some pretty outrageous shit. Like, and outside of those who know me well, we would just be like, oh my God, that dude's a fucking monster. Even though most people don't know him.
It's a joke.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's a joke. It's
well,
a it,
but even so, most people
joke.
Who know you still think you're a fucking monster, but that doesn't exactly. change anything. So what? Who is it?
Monsters hang out with monsters, right? You know? Yeah, I don't want this. Like, so I have to check and verify that Morps is Morps before I can play Wreckfest with him on my fucking server? Like, God damn. Like, this is guilt through association. And it comes down to right to gather, you know? Peacefully assemble. To do something. Does a sporting event need to do background checks and verify everyone who comes to watch their responsibility?
There are some people who would say yes. I say no. I think it's insane.
Yeah. I mean
you, this is where you're so terrified of somebody you've defined as the other. That you can't function in society.
Yeah, you're crippling yourself because you're afraid of being set upon.
So,
let alone unemployed.
Now, I am aware that you're not in the United States. Wall's not in the United States. I'm aware of that. But at least stateside, you're supposed to be the land of the free, not the land of the safe.
Yeah.
You know, freedom is not safety. And no, occasionally people are going to get hurt. And
dude, this is why people hate freedom. They hate freedom because they're fucking shit scared of themselves. They don't know what they're going to do when they have to put their own measures of control on themselves. They don't want it. It terrifies them. They'd rather have a foot on their neck and be held down because at least they know where the safety is. Same with these... The couple that pointed the firearms when the mob came through their gate, the mob was scared, and then they got angry because two people were free to protect themselves because no one else was coming to do it.
Yeah,
people got real afraid when people start, you know, being free people.
Those guys have a lot of, that couple has a lot of lawsuits coming against them now, don't they?
Oh, they're fucked. Yeah. But, they'll be made an example of, and then you'll have to decide whether you want to be free. Because if those two people see any time in prison and there's not a fully armed regiment of militia marching to the gates to demand their freedom, I'd say it's pretty much lost to the Second Amendment there. Because if you have the right to own firearms but not the right to brandish them, what the fuck
what's
is
the point?
Gonna,
yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean?
No, it just means if you're going to pull that firearm, you better fire it. You can't just brandish it to use it to try to scare somebody off. Admittedly,
and just remember, kids, it's two to the chest, one to the ceiling. You fired that one first shot, that third shot first.
Yeah, you shot in the ground or in the ceiling as a warning. But you know, that's the thing, is if that's how it's gonna go down, it's gonna be just open fire, and then when the cops show up, you say, I was scared for my life.
Well, I mean, did you see the shooting in Chicago? I know what shooting you're gonna say. The one that
was
on
the funeral? Which one, but
yeah. At the funeral? A video of that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, the thing that really stands out, this funeral is in the middle of the day. These people felt comfortable enough to roll up on a funeral home in the middle of the fucking day and hang out the window and start shooting. Like, that takes some fucking balls to believe you don't need the cover of darkness anymore to start shooting a place up.
That's messed up, man.
Yeah. It's a goddamn fucking tragedy is what it is. And you guys have spent time listening to Chicago PD. It was a nightmare before this shit happened. Like, goddamn, man. Like, good luck to the feds. I hope they can get it under control, man. You can black bag some of these dudes. I mean, let's see how your white suburban BLM dude, you know, holds himself with the Pecklewoods in prison. Because... your ideology ain't gonna save you there, buddy. I haven't been to prison, but I've been threatened with it, and I've watched enough fucking documentaries to know I don't want to go.
Played a few video games.
I played a few video games, you know. I played Mantrap. Manhunt, sorry. Mantrap's probably a different game that BSV is about to laugh at me for.
I don't want to know what that video game would be.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just... I don't want to say thin edge, because I think we're way down now.
Well, I just don't know. Fast. I mean, it's all new territory, I guess. We'll see what happens.
Well, and imagine this is what it was like around the turn of the Industrial Revolution. Overnight, everything just changes. And we've got a whole new landscape to survey.
Wake up and smell the ashes, I guess.
Well, dude, it's... I'm going to golf truck here, but it's done. And I'm not talking about black pills and shit like that. Give up, fucking walk into the darkness shit. Like, but the old world is done. Like, these cities that America has, they're finished. There's no more commerce coming back to downtown. It's not because the place got trashed or anything. It's because why would you? Everyone can work from home. The only way I could see it going with those high-rise buildings having any sort of rent coming in is you're going to have, like...
Silicon Valley
startups are going to buy these towers and turn them into residential. Like, hey, you work for, Zimzam fucking .com. Welcome to the Zimzam Tower. You're an employee. All the luxuries of employment come with free accommodation, breakfast before 9. And they'll just run it like that. And
oh, so you'll eat at the company restaurant, live in the company dorms, and get paid in company dollars.
And you'll get corporate security.
So Arcologies? Are we talking about Arcologies now?
Well, you can see it from here, but not quite yet.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I can see these high-rises maintaining viability within the rent structure. I think 50% of the workforce isn't coming back, those who have... I'm just looking at bottom line crunching here. They're looking at rentals and shit like that, and they're going, yeah, we don't need to rent now. Everybody's working from home.
Yeah, right? And you look at how many offices have been empty for the past several months.
Well, that's what I mean. Talking to some local businesses around here, and they run little coffee shops and things like that. They're like, this is fantastic, man. I am, like, usually it's Saturday, Sunday trade that looks after them. That just keeps their head above water. Since this Wu flu started, do the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The trade is just crushing it, man. The city has become the suburb. There's no more downtown going for coffee. It's like, fuck, we'll just pop down the local cafe. Things like that. But it'll be interesting to get the real financial data when it comes out to look where the money went. Like, it's going back to the suburbs. So maybe you will see the reemergence of small strip malls, things like that, but the death of the large inner city.
Well, I mean, at this point, who knows, right? So let's see.
No, I know, man.
I'm curious to see where it goes.
I am too. Like, not afraid of the journey. Outcomes may vary, though, depending on levels of fear. I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be terrifying. It's going to be exciting. But,
well, it ain't. After that deep conversation, how about something kind of flippant and stupid?
Yeah, I'm good for that.
That sounds all fun. Right.
This is from The Telegraph. TikTok could be sold off by the Chinese owner to shield it from the U.S. ban.
But it's going to get banned anyway as long as the Chinese communists have control of any part of it.
It sounds to me like the people who run it make enough money off of it, they're trying to get out of China. Because it's like, no, we don't want to lose our cash cow. Embattled viral video app TikTok could be split off from its Chinese parent company and sold to investors in the United States in order to shield it from the regulatory wrath, according to reports. ByteDance, the 110 billion Beijing startup behind TikTok, said it is to be discussing the plan with small groups of its U.S. investors who would buy a majority stake in the app. Insiders told Silicon Valley News website The Information that the plan was tentative and preliminary, representing only one possible solution. So they're just talking about it. Spokesperson for TikTok said, "We consider the best path forward. ByteDance is evaluating changes to the corporate structure of its TikTok business." So, yeah, I mean, if the majority of it is owned stateside, it does get a lot harder to just out-and-out ban it. But you're right. If they're still technically running it out of Beijing, well, you know, they're still
what
running
does
it out of Beijing.
Do?
Huh?
What does TikTok even do?
You record video on it. I don't actually use it, but I've seen videos and things like that. It looks like they have a bunch of different filming modes, and you then set audio to the video separately. I think originally you're supposed to be doing like your own versions of music videos and stuff. A lot of those GIFs with sound where you see somebody doing like complicated dances or shit like that, and it's vertical video, that's a TikTok.
But essentially it's just a facial recognition gathering software, isn't it?
Well, just like Facebook, yeah.
No, yeah. It's a video or social networking thing, at, like any.
You a big user of TikTok BSV? You got a bunch of videos out there on it?
No. Like, I have any any accounts on any of these stupid social networks.
It would be kind of fun to set up fake ones and use, like, Second Life characters or something. Or, like, really badly drawn cartoons.
Problem is, I got enough to do in my day at this point. You know what I mean?
You don't want to troll people on TikTok with weird 3D renders?
You know, bad enough I'm banned from chat roulette for life, but, no. Yeah, nah, I'm good. I've had my fun fucking with people with that shit.
All right, last article I have for today. This is from Ars Technica. QAnon conspiracy kicked off Twitter. They banned a bunch of accounts for this. It's like, but how could they tell who was really believing it and who was just playing along?
Well, that's what I mean, guilt by association. They banned 9,000 accounts for just being associated with QAnon. Like, I don't get it. It was it was tongue in cheek parody. It's exactly like that Hillary Clinton won the election, and they have a whole website devoted to positive stories about how the Clinton are running America. There's a whole bunch of delusional fuckwits who are into that,
just living in their own fantasy world.
Yeah, they've just created this fantasy where, you know, the virus has already been wiped out thanks to Hillary. She single-handedly created a vaccine. Like, they've got this whole fucking, yeah, weird shit going on over there. I mean, QAnon's just a fucking joke, isn't it? I've never really followed it.
It's QAnon is speculative government fan fiction.
Yeah. It's written in like coded language or shit, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's
just for boomers to live out their fucking NSA dreams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've got all these crazy. I mean, you ever go look into it? They've got some really fun plot lines that they had going on there about who was working on arresting who. And but yeah, I mean, it's all fantasy football, right? It's all just making shit up and running with it.
Well, it makes me think they got a little too close to the truth. You know, we got to shut it down now. It's been running 3.5 years, got to go now. You know what I mean? What did they say that got a little too close to home?
Let's see. Twitter is removing thousands of accounts and tweets that support the baseless QAnon conspiracy theory from its platform, citing the movement as a coordinated harmful activity that leads to harassment and other harms.
Wait, what? So they're attributing malice where there is none. Oh no, this will just lead to fucking violence.
So we can you want to get people
got a precog machine.
So you want to get people off your platform and send them to using things like 4chan. This is how you get people off your platform and send them to using things like 4chan.
Hey, don't come to 4chan. Go Telegram. Telegram wants you more.
Okay,
stay
Telegram.
Out of 4-
I don't care.
Yeah.
If you want to run users off your platform, this is how you do it. Because I mean, QAnon is harmless. It's bullshit. But it's like, oh, it's coordinated harmful activity. How?
Exactly.
The only thing I can think of is where they actually had a bunch of people camping out at a pizza restaurant because they had decided that was where a pedophile ring operated, and all they did was, you know, they scared some people.
Yeah, that was pretty. Now, wasn't there that dude that
that
came
wasn't QAnon
with the...
yet though, was it? Was this pre?
That was Pizzagate.
Yeah, that's pre QAnon, isn't it?
It's hard to keep up with all the bullshit in the last 10 years, man. Because it has been a lot of bullshit.
Sorry, again, Disney. The whole this group is harmful, and we can't let them communicate online. We'll get rid of them.
Yeah, like they're going to stop.
If you you either allow everybody or just don't do anything or allow anybody.
Again, like I said, you think they're going to stop?
What I mean. How
they're
just
going to go on another platform and keep doing it.
But how is Twitter gifted with the sight of future predictability of knowing that these people are going to harass and cause violence? Because they haven't done that yet.
Well, obviously they're holding up the Sword of Omens and looking through the hilt. Because it makes about as much sense.
Yeah, I mean, fuck Jack.
No, at least they're looking through the hilt this time and not through the point.
Or the guard, or what? What was it he looked through? It was the guard of the sword, and it like became a telescope or something and then turned into a searchlight. I don't really understand. It was cool when I was a kid, but I tried to go back and watch some of those shows I watched when I was like, you know, 5, and it's just like, man, I was fucking dumb. It's like Thundercats, that show was awesome. You go watch it now, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
you watch
a little
yeah, and of course, what's really bad is like, well, I'll just start from the beginning. You start watching the first episode of Thundercats. Why are they naked? I don't remember them being naked. Why are they naked? So
yeah, this is some interesting shit. My parents made some very poor choices in things I watched as a child. But I wouldn't be the great fuck-up I am today without it.
We've been clear that we will take strong enforcement action on behavior that has potential to lead to online harm. Potential to lead to online harm or offline harm.
You know what I mean? They can
so
see it.
I could post. I could go on there and post something like, I like Ubuntu. Oh, no, you could get beat up by Fedora users. You better take that down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or something even more obscene. I like ice cream. Oh, well, somebody's going to come beat you up because they like pie better.
So
the
Jack
potential
Dorsey.
For offline harm. Are you fucking kidding me?
So he's
what
not,
doesn't
telling
have the
me
potential?
This guy has like a pool under Twitter, and there are like 3 hairless cat women in there. that are precogs.
For God's sake.
I can work anything in.
Nose down and call
tonight.
Shut up,
Wesley. Yeah. I'd be ashamed of myself for that. Gene splicing is a thing, kids. Anyway, yeah, it's ridiculous. You can't pre-ban someone for what you believe will happen in the future. Like, I mean, it's not like you're fucking around with power tools here. No one's going to lose a finger or an eye.
No, they may go to post something, slip, and hit their eye on the edge of their desk, and you never know.
Never know, man.
In line with this approach this week, we are taking further action on so-called QAnon activity across the service. In addition to suspending more than 7,000 accounts so far, and possibly as many as 150,000, for all is said and done, Twitter says it will no longer include anything associated with QAnon in trends or recommendations, make sure not to highlight it in search, and blocks certain URLs associated with Q from Twitter. So what would that be? Pastebin? Are you just going to block Pastebin from Twitter? That'll end well. Q-related content has apparently been on the upswing lately, which is perhaps not surprising as the U.S. is currently experiencing out-of-control pandemic and a widespread civil rights protest at the same time. Adherents have also apparently been trying to do in-runs around Twitter's rules, what the platform is also pushing back on. We will permanently suspend accounts tweeting about these topics that we know are engaged in violations of our multi-account policy, coordinating abuse around individual victims or attempting to evade a previous suspension, something we've seen more of in recent weeks. FBI last year warned that QAnon and other anti-government, identity-based, and fringed political conspiracy theories posed a concrete threat to domestic safety. Though conspiracy theory-driven crime and violence is not a new phenomenon, the FBI wrote, today's information environment has changed the way conspiracy theories develop, spread, and evolve. The agency also specifically warned of the continuing threats of the 2020 election approaches, writing that domestic fringe movements very likely will emerge, spread, and evolve in the modern information marketplace over the near term, fostering anti-government sentiment, promoting racial and religious prejudice, increasing political tensions, and occasionally driving both groups and individuals to commit criminal acts. What the fuck?
Although, Antifa, okay, Q, no.
Yeah, I guess. To date, QAnon followers...
But they're just peaceful protesters. They're not doing violence.
To date, QAnon followers have been tied to at least a dozen violent incidents, including kidnappings, attempted arson, and at least one murder. Well, any sufficiently large population of people is going to have crazies in it. So I'm wondering how they're getting that statement. It's like, did somebody kill somebody claiming that Q told them to do it?
Because so I'm going to look up now, man, because I'm calling bullshit on that.
I mean, is that something... I mean, it sounds to me like, oh, well, you know, this person did something. Okay, well, their source is the Anti-Defamation League. Accused of killing Gambino mob boss, he presents a novel defense. Okay, well, their link goes...
Oh, this dude was fucking insane, though.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with it. I remember this story.
Yeah, they're just... Their reach. It's a reach. That's a stretch. That's somebody claimed QAnon because they heard it in the news and thought they could get off in court with it.
Yeah, no, he was off his meds, man.
Cat, no. Hey.
Hey.
Sorry, Cat was trying to walk on the mixer.
Yeah, but it's just... Yeah, that makes no fucking sense, that claim. They can fuck right off with that.
So, anyways, yeah, I feel like it's a little blown out of proportion. Although, people get arrested for posting shit in Europe on Twitter, so I'm like, I guess I don't know anymore. I'm used to thinking of the internet as this, you know, stupid place where it's just words, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Well... Because they think they can make money off it.
Yeah, I hate some of the writing. Have you looked at the last couple paragraphs?
Oh, I stopped reading it. I'm done with that article.
Yeah.
I know. It keeps going. The author is incredibly biased.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, well, All that being said, Antifa's still on there.
You guys want to wrap it up? I got one thing for Dojo, then we can call it a night.
Yeah, I want BSV to give out the name of that role-playing thing, too. I think that that would be a good little thing for end the show.
Okay.
That's not quite there yet, but I think our listeners get a kick out of playing that.
So I've got two things, or I've got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that is the Tiny Pilot. And what this is a project that solves an interesting problem. It's actually something I explored doing a few years ago, tried to use a composite video capture because HDMI video capture used to be expensive. But nowadays you can get a USB HDMI capture plug for like $20 online. So what this project does is it pairs one of those cheapy HDMI USB captures with a Raspberry Pi 4 and a piece of software called Tiny Pilot. And it is a KVM, or keyboard, mouse, and video controller over Ethernet, and runs the software in the Raspberry. So the idea is you set up the Raspberry to remotely control a server, a more powerful computer, a desktop you leave at home. And then you use the software to remote into it using the HDMI capture and the USB-C port on the Pi to emulate a keyboard and mouse so that you can then remote control that computer as though it was one of the much more expensive KVM packages. So if you run servers at home, or if you're a business and you need to set up some remote access to servers and you don't have a lot of budget for a high-end, you know, IP or KVM over IP system, this is a cheap way to do it because the whole setup is a Raspberry Pi 4 HDMI capture and some cables, so you're looking at less than $100. Actually, I think the guy sells kits for about $100 if you wanted to just order that, but for what it is, you've probably got the parts laying around and you just need either the HDMI capture or whatever, right? So, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that leads us to end of the show. So, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. In the IRC tonight, myself, Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, Cyber Lord, Psychros, DP View, Herats, and the Coffee Maker. BSV, closing thoughts.
Stuff is just getting odd.
Your game?
My attention span's not always there. Still a work in progress thing, but AI dungeon I found recently, and essentially it's just a text-based dungeon simulator ran by an AI. You can still, it can go a bit crazy on odd tangents, but sometimes it's been improving or that, and
yeah,
just interesting to play with.
You can throw some pretty crazy bullshit at it, and it'll just run with it.
Yeah.
So. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Congratulations to Portland. 60 days and still riding on, brothers. Fight the power. Kill Whitey.
Okay. So, that's all I've got for tonight.
That's not going to get clipped well.
Please re-input your entry. The AI doesn't understand.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I got nothing, man. I have nothing. Okay. Disavow. This episode was in Minecraft.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Down to go nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.